Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a delight to be with you again to worship our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to open your Bibles now to the psalm that we just sang, Psalm 120. If you're using the church Bible, that's going to be on page 710. What a joy it is to sing the Word of God and to hear it sung by the people of God, but it's also good for us to read what we have just sang. And my father would often tell us when we were listening to him read familiar portions of the Scripture, he'd always say, "Now, kids, listen again as if for the first time. Hear it afresh, hear it anew, because this is God's eternal saving word given to you, his people, that you might be conformed to the image of his son, but also that you might be built up in your holy faith." I want to remind you that this is God's inspired, infallible, and errant holy word that you'll be hearing read now from Psalm 120. A song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is God's holy word. Let's give him thanks for the reading of the word this morning. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to your people, that you continue to speak to your people. That, Lord, as we hear your word read, we know that we are hearing from your voice to our hearts and to our minds and to our ears. So, Lord, we ask now that you would open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear and open our hearts to receive from your word. That you would plant it deep in our hearts that we might also walk with confidence in the world knowing that you are with us. You are a God who sees us, who hears us, and who answers us when we call. We thank you for the salvation and the deliverance that you have given to us in our distress through the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose holy name we pray. Amen. It's been a really great blessing. I have 6 children, 5 boys, 1 girl, but it's been a great blessing to see as we've matured and grown and walked through our time as parents how much technology has helped us parent. When I have a 21-year-old son, his name is Benjamin, and I have a 1-year-old son, yes, his name is Isaac. And Isaac has this little helpful tool in his room that we're given, and it's called a baby monitor. The interesting thing about the baby monitor is not just that you can hear it, but now you can actually see the child in the room that's got a camera on it. Technology is wonderful when it works. It's helpful. Because when we first had Benjamin, we'd always have to sleep with the door open and pay very, very careful attention. And, my wife would have to pay very careful attention because I sleep hard. So when Benjamin would cry, I wouldn't hear it. But when Isaac cries out, when Isaac rolls over, when Isaac sits up and wipes his eyes and lays back down, I hear it because of the baby monitor. The interesting thing is that when the child cries, the mother and the father respond. When the child is in trouble and the child cries, by God's grace, if the monitor's working, the parents respond. But when you cry out, and you call out in your distress, God needs no monitor. He is right here with you, present, attentive, not slumbering, not sleeping. He doesn't need to be jostled awake. When you cry, he hears, he sees. And just like any good mother or father, better than that, the Lord answers when we cry. The Lord answers when we call. And his answer comes by his grace through his mighty right hand, bringing salvation and deliverance to his people. The text in front of us this morning, this Psalm of Ascent, is the first of 15 Psalms of Ascents, given to the people of God to pray, to sing, as they would make their way to Jerusalem. They would sing these songs of ascents, calling upon the Lord. And there are 15, and you can break down the Song of Ascents in sets of five, with three psalms per set. So five psalms, and three psalms within those. You could say that the first psalm would be a cry of distress or a call in trouble. And then the second version of the five sets would be a meditation on God's power to deliver, God's power to save. And then in this third section, you would see that God is not only powerful to save, but God protects his people. He establishes his people. And in Psalm 20, what you see first is, in that first set, a call, a cry for deliverance. A call, a cry out to the Lord to save now, to come to the aid of his people. But this is an individual crying out. This is a person in a particular situation, remembering that when he cried out to the Lord in his distress, the Lord answered him. Now, there are very many reasons for us to cry out to the Lord in our distress. The Psalms teach us over and over that we can cry out to the Lord when we have sinned, crying out to him to save, to cleanse us, to make us right. David shows us many times where he cries out knowing that he's in the wrong. Jonah in chapter 2, he says, I cried out to the Lord in my distress and he answered me. But that was because of his own sin, because of his own rebellion. But yet he cries out and the Lord saves. Yet in Psalm 120, what we have is there is one who cries out in his distress because he's being sinned against. He's being sinned against. He lives among a people who have lying lips and a deceitful tongue, who speak ill words to a man trying to live before a holy God. The psalmist cries out because he has been sinned against. And what does the psalm say again? He cries out in his distress and the Lord answers him. Brothers and sisters, people of God, when you are in distress, whether you are in sin or whether you are being sinned against, cry out to the Lord. Call upon his name. Do not delay. Do not sit there and think, will he hear me this time? Is the Lord answering? Is the Lord attentive? No. Don't think that way. You know that he's attentive to you. You know he pays heed to his people. And when they call, he will answer. So whether you find yourself in sin or being sinned against, cry out to the Lord. Call out in your distress, knowing that he hears, he sees his people. In verse 2, we see the content of the cry. We see what he's crying out for. He's crying out for deliverance. Deliver me, who? Oh Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, who saves his people, who is continually saving his people, who's attentive to his people's cry because he has made covenant with them. This isn't just any God. No, this is Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. He cries out, deliver me, O Lord. Deliver me, Yahweh. Deliver me, covenant-keeping God. Deliver me from what? Deliver me from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Deliver me from false words. Deliver me from the words of those who speak, do not speak the truth, but only speak what is false. Deliver me from the words of men. Now, isn't this interesting? This is Psalm 120. The psalm right before, Psalm 119, is a meditation on the trustworthiness, the beauty, the glory, the value, the reliability of God's word, and the unshakable truth that it brings into our lives. And this psalmist knows God's word is true. But yet when he meditates and thinks about his situation and where he lives and those who are surrounding him and speaking to him, their words are lies. Their words are deceit. Their words are false. God's word is true. Yahweh's word can be trusted. And so he cries out to the one who speaks the truth to him. He cries out to the one who's made promises to him. Deliver me, O Lord, from those who don't talk like you, who don't speak like you, whose words are lies, deceit. They're false. It's the words of the deceiver, the one who would tempt us and overthrow us, the one who tries to distract us from the reliability of God's word. They speak a false word, just like the one who tempted Eve. And notice that lying lips and deceitful tongues always twist what is true, especially when it comes out of the mouth of God. God has said, but did he really say? I know the Lord has said, and then your neighbors come along, well, is that what was said? Can that be trusted? It twists. It mangles what you know is true. And so he cries out for salvation, for deliverance, from tongues that would speak anything against what God has said is true. He prays that God would deliver him from those who would twist and mangle with their tongues what he knows that Yahweh has said is true. The people of God can cry out to God knowing that he hears them. But we can also cry out to God knowing that he is faithful and he is true. And even when we live in a land filled with the twisting and the mangling of what God has said is true, we can cry out to him for deliverance, knowing that he hears us. Deliver me, O Lord. Save me, O Lord. Protect me, O Lord, from what is false, what is untrue, what is deceitful. We live in a world that is full of words. We live with messages being transmitted constantly in our midst. Whether we're driving, we need the radio on, or maybe an audible book or an audio book. Audible's the app I use, but whatever you use, you know what an audio book is. When you're alone, you can fill your ears with noise. You can fill your ears with words. And even when you don't need audio, you have the opportunity to look at the internet, to get on Google, to read a book, to read a magazine, to read a newspaper. Do they still have those? We're saturated with words. Words everywhere. And we haven't even talked about the television and the messages that we are being bombarded by constantly. We have to ask ourselves, how do we distinguish what is true from what is false? How can we be delivered from all of the words? Brothers and sisters, you can cry out to God, and he will lead you back to his word, the truth, that will realign your hearts with reality, that will not lead you astray, but will establish you, will build you up, will strengthen you. You can cry out, and he will answer you. And what is his answer? His answer is his word given to you, that you might not be overcome by lies and deceit. So what are we listening to more? Because we live in a world full of words, but there are words that have been spoken, and they are true. And there is a word that was not only spoken, but became flesh and dwelt among us. The question is not, are there words? The question is, what word are we paying attention to? Where does salvation come? Salvation comes from Yahweh, the one who spoke his word, and he will deliver you. But his deliverance often comes through meditation, reflection, contemplation, study, the hearing, the reading, the praying of his word. Deliverance comes to the people of God through the truth of what God has said. Salvation comes to the people of God from the word made flesh. Cry out to the Lord in your distress. He hears you. Cling to his word. It is true. He will deliver you, O people. But the psalm turns and changes just a bit here, and we get the content of the prayer in deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. But then we see the psalmist asks a question about those who lie, Those who are deceitful, those who speak and twist and mangle God's word, who speak against his word and mangle and twist it. He asks the question, what shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? What happens to those who speak falsehood? What happens to those who twist and mangle what God has said is true? He thinks deeply upon this by asking the question, what is coming to you? Because he knows who Yahweh is, who the covenant-keeping God is, and he knows his word. He knows that there are promises that have been made. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do not repay evil for evil. Pray for those who persecute you. As long as it depends on you, be at peace with those who you live with. Remember Romans 12, because Paul's meditating, reflecting on everything that the covenant God has given the people of Israel. And he's making appropriate, contemporary application to people in Rome, meditating on the law of God and its application. He's meditating on the gospel of God and how the Lord has redeemed his people, as we've heard. But then he works out an application, what you are to do with this. What's coming? Judgment's coming to those who lie. Judgment is coming to those who would deceive. What shall be given to you? What more shall be done to you, you who fling lies? You who shoot untruths at the people of God? You who would try to deceive? Oh, you deceitful tongue, what do you have coming? He tells us in verse 4, those who would shoot lies of deceit, they themselves will receive a warrior's sharp arrow. They will be attacked. They will receive in their flesh the warrior's sharp arrows, but not only that, a flaming arrow. A glowing coal of the broom tree. The warrior's sharp arrow will be returned on those who would lie and deceive. Paul tells us that Satan will shoot flaming arrows trying to overcome you, trying to deceive you, trying to attack you. But the psalmist here says there's another warrior who has a bow. And his bow is drawn against those who would lie and deceive the people of God. What do liars and deceitful tongues have coming? They have judgment coming. And the judgment given to them is a true arrow. And it will pierce. But it's not just an arrow, a sharp arrow. It's a glowing arrow on fire. The glowing coals here is a symbol for us to see the judgment of God. The judgment of God that burns. The judgment of God that purifies. The judgment of God that consumes all that is false. Now, the glowing coals of the broom tree were a special kind of wood that would burn long and would burn hot. And warriors would use them with their shafts to bring not just a pierce, but the pierce would then consume and burn up what it had penetrated. The glowing coals of the arrow are judgment reserved for those who would speak falsehood and lies and deceit. Notice what they get. You shoot arrows of deceit, the arrow of truth will judge you and pierce you and will consume you. That's what they have coming, the psalmist says. That is the judgment. God's judgment is that he will judge the false with his truth by consuming their lies and their deceit. Again, this is a personal reflection. The psalmist thinking about his personal situation, his encounter with falsehood and deceit. But should we not also take warning here with these warring words? These words of deceit being shot at us, but yet the words of truth being returned by the bow of Yahweh. we often think about those who speak lies and those who are deceitful and the judgment that they're going to get. But the question is are we also being warned in the way that we speak and the way that we talk? What are the words that come out of our mouth that are down deep in our hearts? May it be the word of Yahweh, not the opinions of men. May it be the words, the true, piercing, consuming words of the covenant-keeping God, not our words. Because yes, the psalmist lives among those who speak lies, but he also knows that he himself is prone, is capable of speaking lies himself. So it's not just deliver me from those who speak lies, but deliver me also. Guard my heart, guard my tongue, guard my words. May they be your words. Deliver me not just from their attacks, but deliver me from ever being the one who attacks with falsehood and deceit as well. How convenient a lie can be in a moment of temptation, right? It's not a convenience. It always leads to destruction. It always leads to judgment. And the sort of judgment that liars will receive is that they will be consumed, they will be pierced, they will be overcome. So we're not just grateful that God will judge, we're also warned that God will judge. We thank God that He delivers, and He will deliver us from those who lie, but let us also be careful, He will judge those who lie. And we know this because we come to this final meditation in verses 5, 6, and 7. The psalmist is reflecting on God's judgment, knowing that God will be faithful, God will deliver, but he also realizes where he's at. He understands where he's located. Woe to me. Caution. Consider. Woe to me that I sojourn among those who lie and deceive. Woe to me because I live in this environment of deceit. Woe to me because not only am I the object of their lies, I can also become partner with them in their lies. Because you actually will find yourself acclimating to the culture in which you live. So his woe is, Lord, deliver me from this place, but also woe to me because I've been in this place. I become acclimated. Woe to me. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Woe to me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell, sojourn, camp, hang out with a people of unclean lips. Woe to us, because we live in a world full of words. We live in a world full of deceit and lies. But we also have to understand, woe to us, because we can become just like them. And so this cry for deliverance is not just save me from their lies, but Lord, lead me to the truth. It's a cry to be sent back to the place, sent back to the place where truth resides. He notices that he is far off, living in a foreign land, up to the north in Meshech, far away from Israel, far away from Jerusalem. I sojourn here. I am not living where the truth is. I live among these people. I sojourn in Meshech. And I dwell among the tents of Kedar. I'm living in a foreign land. I'm dwelling among a people who are opposed to God's gracious reign and rule. Kedar is the people of Ishmael. They're descendants. They're Ishmaelites. And he's saying, I am no longer with my people. I'm living in a foreign land who speak ill, who actually speak war against what I know is true. So he says, woe to me. Desiring, longing, not just for deliverance from the immediate temptation and the lies and deceit, but long-term relocation, salvation, to be relocated to the place where God's truth is exalted. You're constantly being reminded of it. You're constantly hearing it. You sing it. It's a desire to get back out of the realm of lies into the realm of truth. It's a cry. It's a desire. It's a longing to be back in the temple, to hear the praises of God's people, to be reminded of the truths of God's word, and to rehearse it continually. Take me out of this foreign land and lead me back to the place of truth. Verse 6, he says, it's just been too long. Too long. We know those words. We understand that there's a time where, as we live and we dwell in this world, that any longer just doesn't, we don't seem to be capable of lasting any longer. Too long often becomes in the Psalter, how long? And the Lord knows. And the Lord sees. And the psalmist says, too long have I had my dwelling here. Now, a dwelling is not a temporary place. A dwelling is where you've actually spread out the tent, you put up the post, and you've driven in the stakes, and you said, I'm going to be here for a while. I'm going to dwell here. I'm going to live here. I'm going to abide here. And he comes to his senses and he says, it's just been too long. Too long of living among those who hate the gracious reigning rule of God. That's another way of saying peace. Too long of living among those who hate what is real, what is true, what is reliable. Too long has he dwelt among those who actually, and the word is strong, hate Yahweh. But that peace that they hate, though he doesn't live in Jerusalem and Israel where it resides, the Psalter does show us that it is the longing of his heart, and it does dwell in him. Because he says, I am for it. I am for peace. I am for the reign and the rule of Yahweh. I am desiring it, longing for it, meditating on it, thinking on it. So much so that when I speak of it, isn't that interesting? He longs for it in such a way that he can't help but speak of it. And what's returned to him is a call for war. More hatred, more lies, more deceit. But the more he encounters the opposition, the more that he longs for the peace. And the more he meditates on the peace, the more he speaks. You see this give and take? It's like this circle here going on. I'm for it, I long for it, I speak of it, and then there's more war. But that causes me to long for it more, and so I speak of it more, and there's more that comes against me. This is the Christian experience. This is the testimony of church history. We long. We desire, we seek for the truth to be not only trusted, but to be lived, to be experienced in our day. We long for peace to reign and rule in our hearts, and we long for it to reign and rule in the hearts of our neighbors. And we meditate on it, but when we speak about it, oftentimes we get opposition. What are we to do? Take up the bow in our own hands? Shoot the arrows of our own warfare? Until we get a hearing? Do we gather up armies and rise up and go storm the enemy's strongholds? Those of us who are in exile, longing for the reign and rule of King Jesus on the earth? What are we to do? The psalmist shows us. In your distress, in your longing for peace, when you consider the way of the world that's going on around you, when you hear the words of the world, and they sound like lies and deceit, What are you to do? In your distress, call out to the Lord, and He will answer you. Cry out, deliver me, O Lord. Save me. Too long have I lived here. For too long have I been getting comfortable in this environment. No, I long to be where your gracious reign and rule are loved, are sung about, are meditated upon. Too long leads the people of God to cry out, save us. How long leads us to cry out, deliver me? Again, this is one person meditating on his experience. I called out to the Lord. But should we not call out together, longing for the peace of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem to reign in our hearts? Are you praying not only for personal peace, but for the peace of the church? Because she's being attacked. There are those who would want to overthrow the church and her peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jesus did. He came to Jerusalem. The anointed one, the Messiah, God's anointed king, stood above the city, looking out over it, making his way from Galilee through Jericho, coming upon and looking over the city. And he cried out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And what did they do? They rejected the deliverance that had been brought to them. It's an interesting warning because we often think about those who lie and deceive as those who are worldly. But the Messiah came to his own people, and they did not accept him. They rejected him. This song is on the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm surrounded by lies. Father, I'm surrounded by those who reject the truth, so much so that they rejected him, the Word made flesh, sent to dwell among us. The anointed king came to his people, and they did not hear him. They attacked him with warring words. Consider his trial. All the lies, all the deceit. But yet he remained true, crying out to his Father, deliver me. Standing before Pilate, what is truth? Father, deliver me. On the cross, if you're the Messiah, if you're the King of Israel, Father, deliver me. To his dying breath, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Deliver me. Even the Messiah called out in his distress. And Yahweh heard him. And Yahweh answered him. Because Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, who sent his anointed king to his people, by his word and by his spirit, raised and vindicated his son for your salvation, for your deliverance. And in your distress, you can call out to him, knowing he'll answer you, because God saves his people. We know this because he vindicated his son, and he will vindicate you. So what are we to do? Let's follow in the way of Jesus. Cry out to the Lord. He will hear us, and he will answer. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, and we now turn our hearts to you, crying out to you, calling to you in our distress, in our situations and circumstances, in the place where we find ourselves dwelling in the midst of a people who speak many words, and many words that are lies and deceit against you and your word and your anointed one. But Lord, we know that you are true and your word is truth, unshakable. So Father, we ask that we would make application by hearing your word and calling out to you, knowing that you save, knowing that you have said in your covenant promises that vengeance is mine and you will repay. You will repay. So what are we to do in our distress? Lord, help us to look to you, knowing that we will not be overcome, but that we will be saved by you. Because those who fear you and trust in your word, you will deliver. So, Father, we cry out to you now, asking for you to do this in our midst. And anyone who finds themselves in real distress right now, Lord, I pray by your Spirit that you will enable them to call out in faith, because we know you're powerful to save. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.